Praise the Lord. Well, last night we began with a little open fellowship with some questions and some responses. And hopefully we were encouraged and enjoyed the fellowship together. Well, this morning we're going to go on with an outline. You all received one. And actually this outline was taken from the recent Itero that was shared in Brazil this just last month. So this is very, what you call, up-to-date speaking in the Lord's recovery. And usually, you know, in the recovery, we focus on three things. One is the high peak of the divine revelation. Number two is the God-man living. And number three is the shepherding according to God. These three things are very crucial in the Lord's recovery. Right? We don't want to have a common understanding like many today. What is your view of life? What's your philosophy? What is your interpretation? No, we want to have revelation. We want to have the Lord revealing to us what is the truth. What does the Bible say? And not just the common truths, but we want to know the high peak truths of the divine revelation. And this should cause something to happen. If we really see something, it should issue in a God-man living. Okay? It's not just a man living, and it's not just God living, but it's a God-man living. Right? It's God and man. God mingled with man, living on the earth. And this is what the Lord desires, an expression or testimony of himself, that there would be a group of people on the earth who are living out God manifested in the flesh. We all know there was one man, Jesus, whom God was well pleased with. Why? Even before he did anything. Just his living was, actually we've heard from the brother say, his living was his work. His work was just his living. Whoever did that before? Whoever lived God day to day? You know, manifested God in the flesh. Sometimes we might manifest God in the flesh, but, sorry to say, often we manifest the devil in the flesh, right? Or we manifest just ourself or the old man. But the Lord desires that there would be a group of people who have been called out by God, who have been redeemed by him, who are enjoying him, and that would issue in a living that's called a God-man living. Amen. On this earth. And out of that living, just like the Lord Jesus, he lived, he walked, he worked, he lived at home, he related to his family members, he manifested God from day to day. The Bible says he was like us in all respects, yet he was without sin, right? So he was the first genuine God-man, okay? But out of that came a shepherding life, right? When he began his last 3 years of ministry, he walked around and he saw the people and he said, they were like sheep, harassed and without a shepherd. Okay, so the Lord cared for God's people. Right? In fact, it says he came first to the household of Israel, first to his own. And he came as the good shepherd. And even today, he's still the great shepherd of the sheep. Right? So you can say this one here is focused on his living. This one here is focused on his working or his service. So in the same way, today, we've been called by the Lord, and we've been brought into the Lord's recovery And it's very worthwhile once in a while to have a little refreshing, a little review. It's not like we don't know these things or we've never heard these things. But it's like, I think it was Peter said, even though you know these things, I like to remind you. So we need to hear these things over and over again. So one thing it's good to hear is, what is the Lord's recovery? What is the recovery that we talk about? In fact, even today, there's a lot of misunderstanding, not only by people outside, but even by us, right? Some people say, oh, I go to the Lutheran church, I go to the Baptist church, I go to the Catholic church. Where do you go? I go to the Lord's Recovery Church. Okay? That's not true. That's not correct. Okay? That's not the name of our church. Okay? The Lord is doing a recovery work, right? And we're participants, right? We're in those who are enjoying his work of recovery. Okay, so what is he recovering? He's recovering a group of people who know the truth, who know the divine revelations in the Bible, and who see this and begin to walk and to live in a certain way that manifests God in the flesh, and then they begin to have a service out of this kind of living that's in union or in oneness with the Lord. So this is what we endeavor. This is what our desire is. So the recovery, you could say, often we say, the recovery is the recovery of truth. Well, you can't just say, these are all the key truths. Point one, two, three, four, five, six, there's 25 key truths. I know this one, I know this one, I know this. You know, you can't say that. The recovery is the recovery that we would see the truth and enter in and know the truth. It would become our reality and would affect us, would cause us to have a vision clear, okay, that we wouldn't get mixed up with all kinds of other falsehoods and other degrading or degradation that is taking place in religion. So we do want to have a clear understanding and knowledge, right? We know the verse says, our Savior God desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. So we want to know the truth. We shouldn't be indifferent. And sisters should not be indifferent, shouldn't think, oh, that's the brother's job. They should know the truth better. No, the sisters should know the truth. And last night I mentioned about Sister Emmy Barber. Sister Emmy Barber knew the truth. She knew. She knew the Lord in the way of not just doctrinally, but as her reality. She knew the truth. And the truth that she knew could really be helpful, not only to herself in her own living, but also could become so useful in shepherding others. Okay? So, if you read even in the book of Acts, you know, there's one time there was a brother who was going around ministering, speaking, but the Bible says he wasn't that up to date or that accurate in his understanding of the truth. So a couple, Prisca and Aquila, took him aside. It wasn't just the brother. It was the brother and his wife. And it's hard to say who had more truth. Maybe his wife. But they helped him to have a clear, up-to-date knowledge of the truth. So it's very important. Sisters need to know the truth. Brothers need to know the truth. All God's people need to know the truth. So, but it's not just a matter of truth, but it's also a matter of life. And if you've been in the recovery, especially the last few years, you know that in many of the conferences and trainings, brothers have been emphasizing this over and over again, the matter of the growth in life, the experience of life, the progressing, advancing from stage to stage in our experience of life. And so there's a book called the experience of life. And I don't know if you ever read that. That is probably one of the most classic books in the whole recovery among us. If you don't have it, I want to encourage you to get that book. And not just get it, but get into it. And don't go too fast. Go slow. And just read it and pray over it and open to the Lord. I would say, you know, we talk about this. It's a romantic book. Right? How so? Because it leads you into an experience with the Lord. You know, what's the most romantic thing about a relationship is it's discovering, right? It's new. Should be fresh. Something you're learning. Oh, I never saw that. I never knew that. I never was brought into that experience. So there should be a further advancing through the experience of life. Well, today we're going to tell you about another book. I think maybe this one even came before the experience of life. It's called The Knowledge of Life. So this one's very good. You know why? Because it tells you what life is and what life is not. And I pulled this off my shelf the other day. I was looking through it. And just reminded. In fact, when this message was shared down in Brazil, excuse me, the brother gave us a whole list. In fact, the list, what life is not, seemed to be longer than what life is. So I'd like to share a few of these things with you. You know what? Life is not. Life is not just being pious or devotional. Okay? That means where I grew up in Catholicism, there were some people who were very pious and very devotional. You can go to church every single day. I did when I was growing up. Okay? It wasn't necessarily driven out of my own devotion. It was more out of obligation. Where I went to school, you had to do that. That was part of the program. Okay? But I did observe there was people who came early every single morning, very devotional, very pious. Were they not genuine? Were they not true? I wouldn't say that. They were. Okay? But doesn't necessarily mean they were even born again. You know? We know today there's people that pray 5 times a day and bow themselves down and very devotional. Does not mean they have eternal life. They're not born again. They're just very devoted religious people. Okay? So we don't want to be like that. It's not that we don't want to come to all the meetings. We should. But just coming to all the meetings or praying, you can pray 100 times a day. Doesn't necessarily mean you have life. Okay? When I first got saved, I got born again. Brothers, share with me some verses. He who has the Son has the life of God. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. And so these brothers were faithful. They just asked me straight out, do you have the Son? Do you have Jesus Christ living in you? And I had to really think about that. I had religion. I had good behavior. I had this, I had that. But I couldn't say whether did I really have the Son. And so they share with me, those who received him, to those he gives the authority to become the children of God. Okay, well, I received the Lord, and I got saved. I got born again. I was a freshman in college, like some of our sisters here. Okay, I got saved in the dormitory by some bold brothers who were living in the same floor in the same dorm. They just faithfully shared the gospel with me. Okay, but right after I got saved, I saw this other student who lived like just a couple doors down from me in the dorm. And he had a big, long beard. Of course, this was, you know, back in the 69, 70. And this guy was one of the nicest guys I ever met. And he was very devoted and very religious and seemed very peaceful. And he was very kind to all the students on the floor. But I knew he was not a Christian. In fact, I found out he was kind of getting into Eastern religion and meditation and all that at that time. So I got really confused. I thought, wait a minute. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. He's not. He's a nicer guy than me. How come? How come he can be that way? Seemed like I thought real Christians supposed to have peace and good behavior and all these things. So I got a little confused. But fortunately, when I came into church life, I found out those things are nice. We're not for bad behavior, right? It's wonderful if you have peace in your life. Who wants to have no peace or turmoil? Okay? And it's good to be kind to other people. You know, we could all use a little kindness. But just having those things does not mean you have life. Life is in the Son. Life is a person. The Bible says, in Him was life. Life is in a person. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? So where is life? Life is in Jesus Christ. So we shouldn't be confused. There might be people who are nicer, much nicer than you. There might be people more devoted, more religious, have better behavior, all kinds of really good things. But in God's eyes, it's not life. Okay? So the recovery, what is the Lord's recovery? It's not only a group of people who are learning the truth, but a group of people who have come to the Lord and received Him as their life and have learned to touch the Lord as life, because the Lord's essence, the essence of the triune God, is life. And if we're going to relate to Him, we have to know Him as life. And if we're going to experience Him, we have to experience Him in life, right? And then if we're going to shepherd others and serve, this should all be out of that life that we have. So, just being moral, ethical, having good behavior, those are all wonderful things. One time, I was with a few brothers, and we drove across the country. We're on our way to, a conference or training in Anaheim. And we decided purposely we wanted to stop by Salt Lake City. We purposely wanted to go see the Mormon headquarters, just see what it's like. So we went there, and we were kind of casually dressed because we were driving across country. And we got out of the car, and we felt, whoa, all the people around us, all these young people even, they're all dressed in nice suits and ties and all nice haircuts, and it was so nice. And I thought, wow, this is something else, that you could behave so well and dress so well and be so good and be so religious, but be deceived and not have eternal life. So one time I saw on TV a documentary, and all of a sudden I saw this group of young people in this choir. They're singing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. I thought, wow, this is really nice. And so I'm watching it, and I thought, wow, who is this group? This is really sweet. Group of young people singing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And this girl singing, you know, little tears coming down their cheeks. And the guys, you know, everybody's so smiling and so nice looking. And then all of a sudden I see across the bottom of the screen says, the Church of the Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ. And I thought, oh my goodness, I got tricked. So, being nice, being religious, being good, being moral, having good behavior, not drinking coffee, you know, all kinds of things. It's great, but it's not life. We want to have eternal life, and we want to learn to walk in the way of life. So all these things, just having gift or spiritual abilities is not life. Having power, having knowledge is not life. Even zeal or enthusiasm. Okay, I myself have been caught by that a few times. Okay, you can be very zealous. Zealous is not necessarily bad in itself, but we have to be careful that our zeal is out from the divine life. Because zeal in itself, or just being so enthusiastic, it's not life. Okay, we don't want to be deceived. We want to take the way of life. So what is life? This is a good definition the brothers gave us. What is life? Life is just the triune God himself. God himself is life. Right? Life is the Father in the Son as the Spirit. Okay? The Father in the Son as the Spirit being dispensed into us to be our life, our supply, our constitution, and our everything. So, we don't want to miss. We want to take this way. The way of the Lord's recovery is the way of life. So, in Psalm 16:11, the psalmist said, "You will make known to me the path of life." So this should be our prayer. Lord, make known to me the path of life. I want to take this way of life. Okay, so Roman number 1 says, the way of the Lord's recovery is the way of the eternal divine life. We need to know the intrinsic essence of life in the Lord's recovery. Right? In Jeremiah said, or the Lord said there, "I have put before you the way of life and the way of death." Okay? So, we do have a choice. And we should pray, "Lord, lead me in the way of life. Lead me on the path of life." Right? The Lord, we know in John 10:10, said, "I came that you might have life." And the Lord went through a process, right, that we might be able to enjoy this divine life through his divine dispensing. So A says the intrinsic essence of the triune God is the eternal divine life. We know this, we sang about it. God the Father is the source of life. Right? In John 5 it says the Father has life in himself. Okay, isn't that wonderful? The Father, he's the source. He has life in himself. Right? And he's given the Son to have life in himself. The Son is the embodiment of life. Right? So if you have the Son, you have life. Right? You have the eternal life. Life is embodied in the Son. And God the Spirit is the flow of life. So we know in John 4:14, the Lord said, if you would drink of the water that he would give you, this water would spring up in you unto eternal life. Right? So when we drink the living water is available because the Lord has been processed. And as the last Adam, he became the life-giving Spirit. So today, we know him as the Spirit of life, right? He is the flow of life. So life flowed out. We just sang the hymn, a mighty flowing out is God. So it's wonderful that this life didn't remain in God himself, but this life flowed out into a man, right? He flowed out into the man, Christ Jesus. And then this man was processed through death and resurrection, right? And the song we sang said, though Satan did his best, He wanted to put this flow to rest, right? He had him crucified. But what happened? Blood and water flowed out. Right? The Lord went through death. That did not stop the flow of life. That only opened the way for more life to flow. And now this life has reached us as the flow of life. And even now today, it can flow out of our innermost being. Shall flow as rivers of living water. So life is our source, right? Life is our way. And you could also say life is our destiny. If you look at B, the intrinsic essence of the New Jerusalem is the eternal divine life. So you could study the New Jerusalem, the city. In fact, you could even call it, this is a city of life. So if the Lord, God is life, we got born again because we received this life. We're walking on this narrow way of life. Where are we heading? Into more eternal life, right? A city full of life. The intrinsic essence of the New Jerusalem is the eternal divine life, where the Father is the light of life, God the Son is the tree of life, and God the Spirit is the river of water of life. So you look at this city. This city is just full of life. Right? They don't need the light of the sun or of the moon because God is the light. Right? And in this city, there's a river flowing in this city. And there's a tree of life growing in this city. So, you could say, we begin by life. Our source is life. Our destiny is life. So what should be our way? Look at C. God builds the church to prepare the bride of Christ for the building of the New Jerusalem by the eternal divine life, the resurrection life. The flowing, transforming, and building life. So we know that in the type, in the Old Testament, the type of Eve. How was Eve produced? Eve was produced by what came out of Adam. Right? You can say she was Adam. She was a reproduction or duplication of Adam. And Adam is a type of Christ. So the only thing that was Eve was just Adam. Okay? And what is the church? The church is just a reproduction of Christ. So how is the church produced? It's not produced by all these other things. By just excitement or a good bunch of well-behaved people. That's not the church. The church is that which comes out of Christ. So this is very healthy for us all to check our experience, right? Is our focus, is our goal just to be the most well-behaved people around? Well, surely we want to have a good testimony. We want to express God in our living, which does involve our conduct, our living. Okay, but you shoot for just being well-behaved, you miss the source. But if you take Christ as your life, this life will affect your living. All right? Last night, I think we got into this a little bit. There's so many questions. We all have a lot of questions. What should I do? Where should I go? How should I be? And I appreciate it. Gary said quite often, I don't know. I don't know. Okay? None of us could say. What's the answer? The answer is we just need to touch the Lord. Touch the life that we receive. This life has a sense. This life gives us a sense of life and peace and should direct our way. So sometimes we feel pretty strong. I'm going this way. And we start going that way and we just feel not too comfortable. We feel, Lord, I don't know why, but I just don't feel good about this. You know? That's a sense of life and peace. So Lord changes our, we can say, oh, maybe we should go this way. I feel very peaceful about this. So we go this way. Okay? It's not a matter, like was mentioned last night, it's not a rule. You can't go that way. That's against the church rule number 45. You know? No. It's just you go by the life within. We have a sense of life. We're the children of God. We have the divine, uncreated life of God in us. And we want that life to be our source and to be our way and to direct us how we should live, you know, how we should drive. You know, it's in the city of Chicago, it's terrible. They put up all these cameras everywhere. And a brother showed me this new app, how to get around the city in the fastest way. So one day I used it. I was coming from downtown. I'm going all the way back to Evanston. So I use this. And it tells you where the heavy traffic is, where everything, so you can go the fastest route. So I was following this thing all the way, all the way. And then I got home a couple weeks later. I got a ticket. I thought, I'm looking at it. Where was this? I didn't even recognize the street. I was just following the directions. Apparently, I went by a school or something and was going too fast. Okay? So, yes, we get regulated from without. Sometimes we do. And you have to be careful. At least I do. But we also have a sense of life within. We have a feeling within. Sometimes Lord touches us. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go there. Don't drive like that. Even to our attitudes towards other people. Sometimes you could be in your own car. People next to you don't even know who you are. But you're so mad at them. Like, you never even met them. Okay? So we have a life within us. We have to take heed to this life. This is how we should live. This is the way in the Lord's recovery, is that we would take the way of life. So God builds the church. We might think if we do this, if we have this activity, if we go here, we do this, and you know, we can do all kinds of things, and we should. But those things in themselves do not build the church. We need the life to be imparted into us day by day, by enjoying this divine dispensing. Okay, number two, the eternal life, the life of the triune God, is dispensed into the tripartite man to save the believer subjectively in this life through regeneration. If you notice, regeneration is by life, right? Generate. Generate means to generate new life. We got born again. And when we got born again, this was the beginning of our salvation in life. Then we need to be sanctified, not only outwardly, but also inwardly, right? Subjectively. And we need to be renewed in our minds. We need to have a new thinking. And today, we're getting permeated by the thought of the world. So today, sometimes we think to be in the world is means you got a fancy car or something, or you got a worldly dress. Okay? Not necessarily. To be in the world means you think like everybody else in the world. The world's thought, the world's value, concept of value is the same as yours, right? The way you view things on the earth, your philosophy, your view of women, your view of marriage, your view of so many things, of how to raise children, all can be from the understanding and the concept in the world. So we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, to have the Lord's thought, to be saved in our thoughts, in our concepts, in our understanding, in our view, in our valuation, right? So sometimes you just take the matter of time. Sometimes, like the saints on the campus here, maybe no. Sometimes we have a Bible study, and you right away you start thinking, let's see if I have time for this. Okay? So it's a valuation question. Do you value coming together with the saints to get in the Word? Or are so many other things so valuable to you? So it's not a matter of demanding, don't you know we have a Bible study? You know? No, that doesn't work. We need to be renewed in our mind. We need to be saved. Why should we value everything the world values? Right? We should have new valuation of things. We should be renewed in our thinking, in our understanding. We need to be transformed, changed. We need to be changed. So actually, one thing happened during the intro. Many brothers and sisters, many families, many saints, after the storm down there, after the turmoil, passed through a lot of misunderstandings and, you could say, misguidance and deviations and going off the track from the way of life and truth. But in the last few years, so many have started to return. Okay? Large numbers starting to return. Even whole localities just coming back into the fellowship of the universal body of Christ. So, at the end of the training, one of the brothers said, "Welcome home, brothers. We're so glad you came back. And we welcome more to come back. But don't think, yesterday I was over here filled with all these concepts and misunderstandings and false teachings and right in something else. And now today I'm back in the Lord's recovery." He said, on the one hand, now you're on the proper ground and you're in the Lord's recovery. But do you think that you've changed that much from a few days ago you were over here? No. Okay, so we need to be renewed. We need to deal with the Lord and allow the Lord to have free course in us. We need to be transformed and conformed and eventually even glorified. So A says, first, this life was a divine life in the Spirit. Right? We all familiar with the diagram? Right? The triune God became the first God-man. He lived on the earth, went to the cross, he died, he was buried. And the Bible says he rose from the dead and he ascended to the heavens. Now he's on the throne. And then one day he's pouring out, or he did pour out his Spirit into all the believers, into the three-part type man. Okay? But here, we used to have a track called the Two Becomings. Right? Where is the first one? Number one. Right? The Word became flesh. Right? God was manifested in the flesh. That's a very, very great incarnation. It's a very great becoming. God, prior to that time, was far off. We were separated from God. We didn't come to God, but God came to us. He became flesh, right? The Word became flesh. But the second great becoming was here, where the last Adam became the life-giving Spirit. So today, there's several verses in the Bible. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit. Right? He's the Spirit of life. Right? So first, this life, after going through this whole process, where was it? Where is this life? This life is in the Spirit. Right? When the last Adam passed through death and resurrection, he became the life-giving Spirit. So first, life is in him. And second, it became the life in our spirit here. Okay? So, says that our spirit is life because of righteousness. All right, it's a very great thing. Here, our spirit used to be dead. Right, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but now we receive the life of God. Now, not only the Spirit is life, but this life came into our spirit. Our spirit is life. Then, from our spirit, it begins to saturate our mind for the transformation of our soul, to which our mind belongs and becomes life in our soul. We know this life begins to spread in us. So it says in Romans 8, not only our spirit is life because of righteousness, but the mind set on the spirit is also life. So we all know, if you've been a Christian for a while, been in the church life for a while, your mind can go two ways. Okay? Sometimes your mind is set on the flesh. That's death. And we've all experienced that. Sometimes, like one of the questions we didn't get to last night, talked about raising kids. Okay, you got so many years in your life to raise your children. Then eventually, you know, like Gary said, it's never over. They're still your kids. My kids, my daughter just turned 40. I don't know if she wanted me to tell you that, but anyway, she's still my daughter. Okay, I still care for her. So it never ends. On the other hand, they're out of your house. They're on their own. Okay, so yeah, there is a period of time when they're in your house. They're under your supervision. They're under your upbringing. All those things. Okay? Now, when they go out on their own, the question was last night, what if they don't go on with the Lord? What should you do? And I think that question said there's a lot of grieving sometimes. Okay, that's true. Okay? In the church life, we should take the children coming up as our children corporately. Right? Whose kids are they? Yeah, they belong to their parents primarily. But they belong to the serving ones. They belong to their grandparents. They belong to Uncle so-and-so and Aunt so-and-so, and they belong to this brother and that brother. Hard to say. So we should all fight the battle for all our children. Okay, they get to a certain point. They're on their own. Seems like they're going in a different direction. They don't want the Lord. They don't want the church life, whatever. Okay? And you can, then a problem really starts to come about. Because you start thinking, I'm a bad parent. I did a bad job. You know, I wish I could do it over again. I wish this, I wish that. Well, you could say, you're setting your mind this way. Okay? Getting yourself full of anxiety. Okay, so we learned before, the brother said, you can't live way out here. What's going to happen? You ever think about it? What's going to happen when you retire? What's going to happen if you get sick? What's going to happen if you don't have enough money? What's going to happen if your kids won't take care of you? What's going to happen this? You can say, oh. Okay? Or you could set your mind, go back this way. What if we would have done this? What if we would have shared this? What if we would have read the Bible every day? What if we would have prayed more? What if we would have done this? You set your mind that way. And basically what's happening is, you're not living in the present. You're not enjoying Christ. You're not setting your mind on your spirit today. Doesn't mean you say, forget my kids. Who cares? I can't. No, we don't do that. In fact, I always say, hey, the story's not over yet. The story's not over yet. And I have seen some adult kids come back to the church life. So don't think. They're not meeting with us today. They're gone forever. They don't love the Lord. They're hard telling what's going to happen to them. No, we shouldn't have an attitude like that. We pray for them and fight for them. And we should still pray, right, for many years to come. Okay? So, but in the process, don't get obsessed. We are always so anxious about what's going to happen in the future or Oh, what about my past? Oh, what about this? Oh, I grieve, so full of grief. Okay, no, we should enjoy Christ now. Take the Lord now. Be filled with life now. Live in the present, all right? And have our mind not set on the flesh, but our mind set on the Spirit, right? Where there's life and there's peace. Okay, then eventually this life, and I've been hoping for this lately since I've been a little sick, I've been praying, Lord, give life to our mortal bodies. Right? We need life eventually to be imparted, permeate our bodies, where eventually this will issue in transfiguration of our body, that is the redemption of our body. Okay, number three. How about we read number three together? Okay, this is very crucial. Once we receive this life, so here we receive this life, and we're being saved in this life. Romans 5:10. Says, having been reconciled, now much more we shall be saved. So it's false that people think, I'm born again, I'm saved, that's it, forever, it's done. It's not done, it's just started, right? You got born again, that's just life in your spirit. Now you need to be saved in life. Be saved from oldness, from deadness. Be saved from ourself. Saved from our old concepts. So many things of the old creation, right? But not only salvation in life, but we also have a way to have fellowship in life. And this is very key. And one thing brothers have shared with us a number of times is something called interwoven fellowship. I always like this. Okay, interwoven means it's vertical. It's towards God. So, every day, we should be enjoying vertical fellowship between us and the Lord. Right? 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful through whom you have been called, so as you have been called into the fellowship with the triune God, right? Or called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So, like Gary mentioned last night, even if it's only for 10 minutes, we should fight to enjoy the Lord every day. In fact, we had one point on one of the outlines from Itero, I was so touched by it. The very last point and the very last outline said, we need to redeem our time. Okay? Redeem our time how? Redeem our time by enjoying the dispensing of the triune God. Okay? A lot of times like to redeem our time on our checklist. Did you do this today? Did you do that? Did you do this, that? Okay? But this should be at the top of our checklist. Did you enjoy God today? That's the best way to redeem your time. Set aside some time just to enjoy. I was kind of struck by that because by nature, I'm a doer. I like to do things, get things done. Okay? But this should be our priority. Just stop yourself. Just sit down. Right? Just enjoy God. Just read the word. Have some prayer or pray read. Exercise your spirit. Have a time with the Lord and enjoy God. This is our vertical fellowship. But then, Roman numeral 3 says our fellowship with God and with one another. So we have another kind of fellowship. This is the vertical one here. But we also have one. The horizontal fellowship, which goes this way. Okay? That means we should fellowship with one another. Right? We should fellowship with the saints. So if your life is only this way, you can say, that's very good. You have morning revival, you read the Bible, you pray, you have a very enjoyable time. But don't live as a hermit. Right? Don't live by yourself. Right? Don't just have a vertical fellowship. We need horizontal. We need this kind of fellowship. It means fellowship with the saints. Receive from others. That's one thing I really enjoy about sometimes going to the Iteros. Or even last weekend, we had a Midwest Brothers time here. And we sit around the tables. You know what we do? You sit around the tables. You read to each other. You speak to one another. You fellowship back and forth, back and forth. Right? And it's amazing. Sometimes a brother here shares something this way. I think, wow, I never thought of that. That's just fresh. He saw something new. Some new revelation. Or he has some new experience of God-man living. He wants to share. This brother here, wow, he's so different from me. But he shares something. That's the flow of life, the fellowship. But one thing, you think about it. When this happens, okay, and you sisters could have to tell me more on this side. I've heard fabric that has the interwoven fabric is strong, right? That means the fabric's going both ways. Makes it very strong. Okay? So we want to have a strong net in the church life. We need the interwoven fellowship. Fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship with the saints. So that's why Paul said, saints, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Even the most basic meeting, the Lord's Day meeting, we shouldn't think, oh, I don't think I'm going to go today. Or I'm kind of busy, or I got this or that. We shouldn't forsake. This is the Lord's Day meeting. This is a chance to come. Fellowship with the triune God. Fellowship with all the saints in the one body. This is so wonderful. In our group meetings, in the small meetings, even two or three getting together can be enjoy the fellowship with one another. But one thing we have to be careful of, Brother Minoru shared this, we have to be careful. Sometimes the things we call fellowship are not really fellowship. Okay? So sometimes we use that word pretty freely. We say, oh, we're going to have fellowship with the saints. Or we're going to have fellowship in this service. Or we're going to fellowship with saints in my neighborhood. Or I'm going to go out and fellowship, have lunch with a brother. And so you get together with a brother and you talk about the Bulls game or something. Okay? That's not fellowship. Fellowship is the flow of the divine life. Fellowship is not gossip. Fellowship is not sitting around criticizing the saints. Right? Fellowship is the flow of the divine life. That's why the brother said, how do you know if you're really in the true fellowship? One thing really helps is if you pray before you begin the fellowship, and you pray when you're done fellowshipping. Right? And sometimes even in the middle, maybe the fellowship is getting offline. You need to start praying again, bring it back. Right? Stay in the fellowship. So there's something called, this is very good, I enjoy this. We have a picture of what real fellowship is in the New Jerusalem. Well, maybe we'll use this. In the New Jerusalem, there's a throne, right? And it says, out of the throne of God, there's a flow, a river. There's a river, a water of life, right? But do you know what? This river in the New Jerusalem, it's not that simple. It's in the middle of a street. Okay? The street is the street of gold. So that means the flow of life is only in the divine nature. The golden street. Okay? So they call this the fellowship street. So you have to ask yourself, did you have fellowship? Was your fellowship on the fellowship street? You say, how do you know? Well, the flow of life is when you are on the street. That means when you're in the divine nature. If you're regulated in the divine nature, it keeps you in this flow of life. Amen. Right? So you stay on the street, you stay in the river. So I've had the experience sometimes, even trying to have vertical fellowship, I'm over here. I'm just not lined up right with the Lord. I'm off the street. And I'm trying to receive something of the river of water of life, but it just doesn't seem to flow. Why not? Because I'm not right with the Lord. I'm not right with the throne. So you have to get off, come back, repent. Come back on the street. Align yourself again. Lord, I'm sorry I was off. I offended you or offended others. I was contrary to your divine nature. I repent. I confess my sin. I want to come back, be on the right street, and enjoy the one flow of life from the throne. So it's right here. This is the best place for the vertical and the horizontal fellowship to take place. So we have to stay on the street. So we shouldn't say, oh, we had a lot of fellowship, right? We're over four or five brothers. We just got together and we discussed and we planned and we did all these kind of things. Somebody could ask, did you pray? Did you touch the Lord? Were you in the flow of life? Well, hard to say. You know? So we need to be on the street, enjoying the river. The life supply is in the river. So A says, the street of the holy city is pure gold, symbolizing the divine nature, and the river of water of life proceeds in the middle of the street. Where the divine life flows, there the divine nature is, as the holy way by which God's people walk. And where the holy way of the divine nature is, there the divine life is flowing. The street connected to and coming out of the throne is a fellowship street. The divine fellowship brings God to all his redeemed people in order to bring them back to himself as their throne for his golden administration within them. When we walk and move in the divine nature of God, we are brought under God's golden administration to enjoy the flow of life and the supply of life. So it's wonderful that we could take this way and be on this fellowship street. So it's, how should we live? What is the way of life? What is the real God-man living? Is that we are a people of fellowship, right? One with the throne, one with one another, walking on this fellowship street. Okay, then number four. We should live according to the principle of the tree of life, the principle of dependence, not according to the principle of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the principle of independence. So this point is really something. We know in the garden there's only two trees, the tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we also know from our own experience in the church life, it's easy, very easy to go to the other tree. Okay? And to get caught on the right and wrong tree. Okay? Did you hear what that brother said? That's wrong. I know that's wrong. I learned that in the training. That's wrong. Okay? Or did you hear it? You know, look at this, look at that. Okay? And you get into the right and wrong. You're eating the other tree. Then you try fellowship with those saints. Very difficult. Okay? So we know that, especially during times of turmoil, saints get all tangled in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what is the result? You become independent. you start to become like Eve was in the garden, once endeavoring to be wise in yourself, or as wise as God. I know what's going on here. I know what's off and what's on, and I know what's right and what's wrong, you know, this and that. And you get off the life tree. We don't want to be independent from the Lord. So A says that God is our food, signified by the tree of life, means that we must depend on God continually. The tree of knowledge indicates independence. Knowledge or religion means to be good or to do good, to worship God or to work for God without having the living presence of God. So in the eyes of God, the greatest sin is independence. Independence is a spiritual insulation, disconnecting us from the life of God. So we need to learn to be dependent, or to depend on the Lord continually, living constantly in direct contact with God. So my wife read me recently a portion where Brother Lee said, when he stands up to speak, he's not so worried about does he have all his points clear. The thing he's concerned about, is he plugged in to the divine electricity? Is he connected? Right? Is the Lord flowing through him? So we need to depend, to abide in the Lord, and let the Lord abide in us. We depend on him. So yes, we will see things. You be in the church life for a period of time, you learn a lot of things in the church life. But you have to be careful. Don't let your learning become a killing to others. Right? Don't let, you know what time you should come to the meeting, and you see somebody walking in later. Maybe you walked in a minute before them. And you become a judge. Right? So, Brother Leah, share with us. The church life is not a police station. It's not a law court. Right? The church life is a home. A person walked in late. Maybe they need more fellowship, more flow of the divine life. They don't need criticism. They need more ministry of life. We need to minister life to one another. But we ourselves need to stay out of that other tree. Just keep enjoying the tree of life. Depend on the tree of life like our food. Okay, let's read number 5 together. Okay, so not only our daily life, our daily walk, but also our service. You know, in Matthew talks about one day we will have to give account to the Lord in these two areas. How did we live? And how did we serve? How did we work? Okay, how did we build? And Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians, we need to build with gold, pearl, and precious stones. Right? So, we shouldn't build with wood, grass, and stubble. Those represent the natural life, the natural man. So here it says, in our service, we should reject our natural enthusiasm, our natural strength, our natural ability, even our natural affection. Right? We should serve, Brother Lee taught us, we should serve through the cross and by the Spirit. Right? If you're able to do something, right? In fact, sisters recently getting together with actually not only sisters but brothers, fellowship about the piano service. Okay? You say, well, it's so simple. What do you need to get together for? Okay? It's not so simple. Okay? It affects our meetings. How should we serve? How should we play the piano? Right? We should play the piano in resurrection. Okay? How should we do so many things? How should we fellowship and care for new ones? Just in a natural way? You know, We should do these things in resurrection. So we're all learning. So A says we must be burning in spirit with a fire of God's life. We should not serve with strange fire, signifying the natural enthusiasm not dealt with by the cross and not in resurrection. This is true. Strange fire in the priestly service is a sin, a presumption. It causes death before God. We all know the story of Nadab and Abihu, some of the first priests, right? They brought strange fire, and they were judged by God, right? It brought forth death. Okay, so when we are serving, we have to be careful. Sometimes we do get excited, okay? I could testify many times. I've been very excited in the church life. Okay, but we have to be careful. We need the divine fire. We don't need the natural fire. The natural enthusiasm doesn't mean we should just be dead or lukewarm or barren or have no feeling about anything. No, we should be burdened. We should have a fire. But we need the divine fire, right? The Lord does say to be burning in spirit. But we should not have the strange fire. The offering of strange fire might have been related to the drinking of wine. Drinking wine signifies the over-enjoyment of the worldly, natural, or physical and material things. When the priests are drunk, they lose the discernment of holiness and are unable to teach God's people. So it's very hard to participate in the world and be filled with a diet in the world and then come and try and serve in a holy manner. It's impossible. So we need not be drunk. We need to be sober. And we need to have the divine fire, not strange fire. So our natural strength and ability need to be dealt with by the cross to become useful in resurrection for our service to the Lord. After being put aside by God for 40 years, Moses learned to serve God according to his leading and to trust in him. So we all know the story of Moses. Moses, when he first started out, he was so zealous. He was going to do something for God, and he started to act right away. He probably did not pray, did not do anything. He just, I'm going to take care of this, and just went and did it. And we know he was totally unacceptable before God. And then he spent 40 years in the desert, and when he came back, he was a different person. He learned to serve God according to his leading and learned to trust in him. And same with Peter. After becoming a complete failure, Peter learned to serve the brothers by faith and with humility. So these two brothers in the Bible, one the old, one the new, are very good examples for us. So we have a hymn, 910, says the overflow of life is work, right? This should be our way. Sometimes, you know, even one serving full time, sometimes we say, I'm kind of dry, okay? What is that? It usually means you're not on the street. You're not enjoying the flow of life, okay? So we've all had that kind of experience. We should not be dry in our service. We don't want to just be doing things, carrying out things for God without the flow of life. We need to serve. There's so many areas of service. And, you know, you can get a stack of what he called the God Ordained Way books, maybe about this high, okay? Sharing with us, teaching us how to be priests of the gospel. How to be active, how to go preach the gospel, shepherd others, perfect others, help others learn how to prophesy. There's so many areas of service, but this should come out of the flow of life, right? So we have to stay connected, enjoy the vertical fellowship. It's hard to flow something to another brother or sister horizontally if you're not connected vertically. Right? So our first responsibility is to stay connected, stay in the enjoyment of the divine life, And out of this should come an overflow of life that will be our real service, not just our own natural strength. Okay, let's read number six together. Okay, there's two possible ways that we could live and work. One is the broad way, and the other is the constricted way. The broad way leads to destruction. This is not to perish. This is not to end up in the lake of fire, but this is to have our work be destroyed. If it's just wood, grass, and stubble, it will burn. Right? Brother Lee shared with us that he used to keep a painting right in front of his desk. It was a painting of a scene of a, I guess it was a scene of a fire. Right? Why would you keep that right in front of your face? Just to remind you. Are you building with something that will pass through the fire? Or are you building, you're just trying to do a big, successful work, but it's full of grass, full of wood and stubble. Okay, so the brothers share with us, it's not the quantity of your work, it's the quality. Right? So we want to, we should rather have a little bit of gold and silver and precious stones than to have a whole lot of wood, grass, and stubble. Okay, so we want to take the narrow way, not the broad way which leads to destruction. That's according to the worldly system, satisfying the natural taste to get the crowd, to maintain a career of man, and to achieve man's enterprise. Okay, and it's very easy for us in the recovery to look around at other Christian groups and think, wow, seemed like they must have a real blessing. Wow, there's so many people. There's so much. Look at all this. Look at that. Okay. Well, we're not here to judge everybody and analyze everybody, but we just have to take heed ourselves. How are you building? Okay. Take heed how you build. We should take the constricted way. Leading to life is according to the divine regulation, fulfilling their spiritual request to bring in God's elect and to bear the testimony of Jesus Christ, carrying out God's economy for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, the way that leads to a living reward in life is the way. It's the way of truth, the straight way, the way of righteousness, the way of peace, the way of salvation, the way of God, and the way of the Lord, and sometimes slandered as the way of heresy. Sister shared with us last night when she first came into the way, the Lord's way of recovery, the way of salvation, the way of God. Right away she was slandered. You're in the way of heresy. Okay? That's normal. We should expect. You will be criticized. You will be persecuted. Okay? This is the way that the Lord has brought us into. It's the way of life, the way of truth, but some do not appreciate it. So D, the God-ordained way is to have a living and a working that are always narrow and constricted according to the pattern of the Lord's indescribable life and ministry. So the God-ordained way, it's easy to look at the God-ordained way as a way just full of activities. But actually, the God-ordained way starts by you yourself being revived. It's a life way. So the shepherding comes out of a living. The God-ordained way is a living and a working and should be the narrow way, the constricted way. So we in the Lord's recovery must walk in our spirit. Walking in spirit restricts us, causing us to live a normal Christian life, making us vital, healthy believers. So I have a nephew who went to school in Washington, D.C. A couple years ago, President Obama had a college forum where he spoke with college students, and my nephew was able to participate, and he went. And afterwards, he got to go up to the president and ask him some question concerning his faith, and it was very good. And then the president asked him afterwards, please pray for me. Okay, President Obama asked my nephew, please pray for me. Okay, so my nephew and I, you know, he eventually told some saints what happened, and this got spread around all over. It was like, what do you call it? It went viral in the Lord's recovery. And everybody, and one of the brothers ministering said, I heard one of our college students got to talk to President Obama. And, you know, so anyway, the next time I saw my nephew, I was at his house. And I asked him, I said, here, come here, come over here. I want you to go come through this doorway. And he went through the doorway, and he said, well, why are you asking me to do this? I said, I just wanted to see if you still fit, if your head wasn't too big. Anyway, I was reminded of that story when I was reading about the narrow way. You know, the narrow way, it restricts. You can't carry a whole lot of other stuff with you if you're going through a narrow door. Okay? So what? You just have to get rid of all the other stuff. The narrow way, you have to enter in and then walk that way. Okay? That means you got to drop. There's a lot of things that don't go through that door. The old man, yourself, right? The flesh does not go through that door. The world, any kind of self-glory, all these kind of things. So the Lord judges us. It's not that we don't have these things. We do. We have a lot of baggage. We have a lot of, maybe a lot of us have big heads sometimes. So the Lord has to deal with us, judge us, trim us, prune us, so we can enter in through the narrow way and walk in the constricted way. So we in the Lord's recovery must walk in our spirit. Walking in the spirit restricts us, causing us to live a normal Christian life, making us vital, healthy believers. This is the way the Lord took. He sowed himself as a seed of life, fell into the ground as a grain of wheat, so that the life within him could be released to bring forth many grains. We need to serve him and follow him in this way. The work that the Lord needs to produce and increase the church is the overflow, the outflow of the inner life. You know, we have one song. I really like this song. It says, we have an inner life that's for our daily life. That's for the meeting life. That's for the church. So where does this start? Starts here. You have inner life. That's for your daily life. That's for the meeting life. That's for the church. So sometimes we're concerned, is the church meeting good? Is there real enjoyment in the prophesying? Well, basically, if it's not, you can't just correct it here. You got to go all the way back to here. Who's enjoying inner life in your daily life? This will affect the meeting life. If we want to have good meetings or good flow of life in the meeting, we have to have an inner life. We have to be touching the Lord, be vital, be normal, healthy Christians in our normal daily living. So we have an inner life that's for our daily life, that's for the meeting life, that's for the church. So the real work is the outflow or the overflow of life. The important thing regarding our work is not its quantity, but its quality. Gold, silver, and precious stones are always small in quantity, but high in quality, whereas wood, grass, and stubble are always high in quantity, but low in quality. Gold symbolizes God in his divine nature. Silver symbolizes Christ in his redemptive work, and precious stones symbolize the Spirit in his transforming work. Wood signifies the human nature, grass signifies man in the flesh, and stubble signifies lifelessness. Let's all read B. It's a very important point. B. Okay. So we want to take care of what sort our work is. Then see, because Watchman Nee was not interested in the outward work, The life issue of his ministry has flowed throughout the whole earth. Brother Lee said, in my whole life, he is the only person I have known who paid more attention to life than to work. So, last night we mentioned Sister Emmy Barber. I looked through here, there's some testimonies. Even how she trained Watchman Nee. He gave a message, then he was just waiting for her to say, was it good or was it not good? She didn't say a thing. Then a week or two later, she told him, life is not just passing on logical points and good ideas. You know, and he said he didn't like hearing that, but eventually he learned he needed to minister life. Okay? So eventually Watchman Nee was so thankful, he took the way of life. And he brought us in this way, and today we're in the Lord's recovery. The Lord's recovery is a way of life. Okay, so life needs to flow vertically and horizontally. So we'd like to have you sisters come up and share. You can use these microphones.